We have three scriptures reading today. I'll be reading Jeremiah and 1 Timothy, and our guest pastor, Doug Johnson, will be reading Luke. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 11, 12, 22 through 28. At that time it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights in the desert towards my poor people, not to winnow or cleanse, a wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them, for my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I look on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For those says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Because of this, the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black. And for I have spoken, I have proposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. The second reading is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the kings of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
And from Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. May God add his blessing to the reading of this scripture. There's a fascinating story about Leonardo da Vinci. when he was painting the great painting, The Last Supper. The artist spent years painting a very large canvas of the Lord's Supper. First, he wanted to paint the face of Christ as the center of the group gathered around the table. In doing this, he searched until he found a young man of transcendent purity, strength, and beauty to serve as his model. Then he worked through long months and years, painstakingly painting in each of the disciples who were at that table. Da Vinci knew that his greatest difficulty would be in painting the face of Judas. And so he waited until he was almost completed with the painting before he searched for someone to model for him. He knew that the model for Jesus had to be someone among lost souls who were so depraved and traitorous that it would leave no doubt who this disciple was. He found the man that he was looking for, and he engaged him to sit for the painting for a sum of money. Finally, the painting was finished, and the artist was giving his model the final payment for his time. This man, who unfortunately seemed to have a very evil face, said, "I remember when you painted me once before, when I served for you as a model." Da Vinci replied, "You're mistaken. I've never painted you before." "Yes, you did," he replied. "The time before when you painted me as your picture of Christ." His long years of dissipation had taken their toll on this man and made a terrible change in his face. It's amazing to think of how this man's life changed as he grew older, as he gave up on his ideals and forgot that God cared for him. The story is a true picture of lostness in a man who is overcome by the trials and the temptations of life. In the parables that we read this morning, Jesus shows a great deal of compassion for the lost souls of his day. Unlike the religious leaders who could see no further than the rules these people had broken and the harm that they had done, Jesus looked beyond that and he saw the hurting, lonely people within, and he offered them hope and forgiveness and acceptance. No matter how often we use the word, it's very easy to forget sometimes that Christianity is a religion of grace. The tax collectors mentioned in the story were men who had sold out to the Roman government and who taxed their own people unmercifully. Beyond a certain point, anything that they took in was theirs to keep. It is understandable that these men were considered to be traitors to Israel and traitors to God. They had sold out everything that they believed in regarding loyalty, patriotism, and decency. It's significant that in his parables, Jesus uses examples of those who were also considered with contempt in his day. Shepherds were a very low reputation, and they were avoided as outcasts by polite society. So he told them this parable: "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.'" In this parable, Jesus describes a God who does not give up on us. And he uses another kind of social outcast to demonstrate his point. It reminds me of the words that have been put in recent years to a Londonderry Danny Boy. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. I know sometimes when I'm talking to people in the psych unit and we talk about feelings of guilt, I emphasize to them the importance of, yeah, each of us have sinned, but don't define yourself by your sin. And I think this was the message of Jesus. Don't define yourself by your sin. Because with religious people, sometimes it's a great temptation to define people by what they have done and by the ways that they have fallen short. God's love is a love that looks beyond outward circumstances and loves the person within. A farmer had a sign in that was advertising puppies for sale. A paper boy was making his evening delivery and noticed the sign. He got off his bike and he said to the farmer, "How much do you want for a pup, mister?" The farmer said, $150. The boy's face fell because he did not have that kind of money. He asked if he could see them anyway, so the farmer whistled. And in a moment, the mother dog came around the corner of the house, followed by four cute yapping puppies wagging their tails. And another pup came around the corner of the house, dragging his leg. And the boy asked, "What's the matter with that puppy, mister?" The farmer answered, "Well, son, that puppy is crippled. We took him to the vet, and the doctor took an x-ray. That puppy does not have a hip bone. That leg will never be right." To the farmer's amazement, the boy dropped his bike, reached for his collection bag, and took out a $10 bill. He said, "Please, mister, I want to buy that pup. I will pay you $10 every week until the $150 is paid. I promise I will." The farmer answered, "Son, you don't understand. That dog will never be able to run and jump. That puppy will be a cripple forever. Why in the world would you want such a useless dog?" The boy paused for a moment and reached down and pulled up his pant leg, exposing the iron brace that he wore and the leather knee strap that straightened his own crippled leg. The boy answered, "Mister, that pup is going to need someone who understands him to help him in his life." God's love for us is like the love of this little boy for the puppy. God looks beyond our imperfections and embraces us with the love of Jesus Christ. In the humanity of Christ, God embraces us. It has always been a temptation for some religious people to pass judgment on someone for some outward reason. The scribes and the Pharisees do not have the market cornered on this. Any time that we pass judgment on others based on outward circumstance, appearance, or even deeds, rather than loving the person within, we are failing to live the love of Jesus. While Jesus did not condone sin, it seems that for him, the only sin that could separate one from the grace of God is a hard heart. An unwillingness to accept God's grace on one hand or to lovingly give it on the other. A friend of Clara Barton, the founder of the American Red Cross, once reminded her of an especially cruel thing that someone had done to her years before. And she said, "I don't remember that." The other person said, "You know, you surely remember that." And she says, "No, I distinctly remember forgetting that." Forgiveness is the ultimate result of grace. This was demonstrated in Jesus Christ, and it continues to be demonstrated in the lives of his people. We are to love the person within. Forgiveness is the first step up from lostness. Jesus did not ignore the sin of the tax collector, but he did refuse to define a person by their sin. He made it known on many occasions that forgiveness and redemption was possible. He loved people too much to focus only on their sin. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost." In Nathaniel Hawthorne's book, The Scarlet Letter, Hester Prynne is forced to wear a letter A sewed onto her dress for the rest of her life because of her sin of adultery, and by the way, in the end of the movie, it's the minister who was the one who was also guilty of this sin. But Jesus would never do this. Forgiveness was final. And forgiveness is the important thing that we are to emphasize. Corrie ten Boom, in her book Tramp for the Lord, had these words to say regarding forgiveness. It was 1947. I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with a message that God forgives. It was the truth that they needed to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land. And I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I like to think that that's where forgiven sins are thrown. When we confess our sins, God casts them into the deepest ocean forever. Then God places a sign out there that says, "No fishing allowed." Yet so often it is our tendency to, even after we have received God's forgiveness, to make ourselves feel so guilty and to continue wanting to ruminate on something that God has already forgiven. It's so important in cases like that for us to forgive ourselves as well. We have a God who is diligent in seeking out that which is lost. Like a lowly shepherd seeking out even the least of the sheep, or a woman valuing a lost coin, God loves us and seeks us even in our lostness. As the psalm says, there is nowhere that we can go that God does not seek us, embrace us, and call us back. The love of God in Christ is stronger than anything. Even Paul, who had been a hater and persecutor of the church, was sought, brought, and bought by the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, "I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life." God had a special purpose for Paul, and he has a special purpose for each of us as well. In our own sense of lostness, we can take comfort in the fact that God seeks after us to embrace us and to love us in our weakness. For Christ has walked in the path that we have walked before us. God does not give up on us. Jesus ended his parables by saying, "There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents." Each of us is a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not one of us, not one of anyone, is in a place where we can judge another. But we are called through Christ to repent, to change our minds, and to recommit ourselves to Christ and his work. Paul said we were not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we turn to Christ, he takes us in our weakness and begins or continues the process of transformation. We are not alone in the world. Christ has identified with us. Christ has identified with us in our weakness, and he stands before an open door, always calling us to step through and to begin anew. It's always open for us. Let us go through and recommit ourselves to allowing Christ to love others through us. Amen.